Today on CityCast Pittsburgh. It's a presidential election year. Joe Biden is expected in Pittsburgh tomorrow, and there are a bunch of state and local elections to watch for, too. But before we get to November, we have to get through the primary. CityCast Mallory Falk and I are running through a few key races, plus what's at stake at the polls next week. It's Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. Mallory, good morning. How are you feeling about election coverage? It's back.
I can't believe another election season is already upon us, but we're going to power through.
We are. This is the Pennsylvania primary, of course. It's 1 week from today on April 23rd, but there's a good mix this time, local, state, and of course, a presidential election.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into the big one, U.S. president. Pennsylvania is a swing state, but we vote very late in the primary when the candidates are basically already decided. So by now, Biden and Trump are the presumptive nominees. There have been pushes to move up our primary so that we as Pennsylvanians have more of a say in choosing the presidential nominees.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be great. But and, you know, this year there was like an additional push to move it up because the primary actually falls on Passover. But it was unsuccessful.
Yeah. And Pennsylvania has closed primaries, which means that you can only vote in the primary for the party that you are registered for. So in Allegheny County this time, that's Republican or Democrat. If you are a registered independent, you have nothing to vote for this cycle. So we will see yins in November.
Yeah, that's your time to shine. But there has been a lot of organizing for Democrats specifically to vote uncommitted in this election cycle instead of voting for Biden. If you've been following primaries in other states, this is something that's been a national trend. The whole purpose of this is for voters who are dissatisfied with Biden's policies, specifically his support of Israel as it's been bombing Gaza, to let him know. And now there's a group in Pennsylvania that's been pushing for this. They're calling for things like a permanent ceasefire in Gaza and for the U.S. to end military aid to Israel.
And this happened in Michigan. More than 100,000 people voted uncommitted. Biden still got well over 600,000 votes, but it is still like a lot of people coming out to do a protest vote. So I'm curious to see how this could play out in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but it's interesting. There is a key difference between Pennsylvania and a state like Michigan, because in Michigan, you had the option on the ballot to vote for uncommitted. Mm-hmm. But here in Pennsylvania, there's only a write-in option. You have to write in uncommitted.
And get spell it right.
Yeah, exactly. The organizers here in Pennsylvania are hoping to get 40,000 Democratic uncommitted voters, which was about half the number that Biden beat Trump by here in 2020.
But the thing with write-in votes is that you can write in anything, and people love to goof around in that spot.
Exactly. I mean, people can write in the name of fictional characters, the name of their best friend. I saw in the Penn Capital Star that one organizer with Uncommitted PA said his group thinks it can reasonably claim all write-ins as a win for the movement. But I'm not sure that would be a truly accurate number.
No, I don't think it is. But yeah. I admire the pluck.
Right. Because just in Allegheny County alone, back in the 2020 Democratic presidential primary, there were more than 6,000 write-ins. But, you know, I guess if we see like a huge increase in the number of write-in votes, like way more than in than there have been historically, you could maybe draw some conclusions that a lot more people are turning out to specifically vote uncommitted and express, you know, a lack of support for Biden right now.
And of course, the other interesting thing hanging over all of this is that Biden claims Pennsylvania as his home state. So what does it say if, you know, he gets a ton of uncommitted votes here? Mm-hmm. The group here in Pennsylvania is only pushing for uncommitted votes in the primary, to be clear. But I do think it's an interesting tactic to pressure a sitting president. Like, will it actually affect change, get the administration to change its policies? I'm curious to see how this turns out.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're talking about swing states like Michigan and Pennsylvania.
By the way, you may have noticed that there is a primary for U.S. Senate as well. Both incumbent Bob Casey, a Democrat who's held the office since 2007, and Republican David McCormick, a former CEO who has run for a whole bunch of things over the last several years, they are each running for their party unopposed. So we will spare you that race for now. Instead, we're going to jump to some state offices. First up, Attorney General. There are so many people in this primary, especially the Democrats. It is crowded.
Yeah, but I mean, before we even get into the candidates, I think it's important to explain what the Attorney General actually does, why this position is important. Our friends over at CityCast Philly talked about this with Katie Meyer. She covers government for Spotlight PA. I am going to hand this explanation off to her.
Oh, it's a hugely important position. So the Attorney General is basically the top prosecutor in Pennsylvania. And so they can run investigations. They can prompt investigations. If there was a massive investigation into child sex abuse in the Catholic Church, for instance, several years ago. And that came out of the state attorney general's office. So it gives you a sense of what they can do. It also is a really key springboard to higher office. We've had a number of attorneys general become the governor. Josh Shapiro, who is currently the governor, was attorney general. So that gives you a sense. It's a high profile position. And the reason there's so many candidates this year is it's also wide open. The attorney general who took over when Shapiro became the governor is not running for re-election. And so she, because she's stepping down, both sides have no incumbent. And so it's just wide open primaries.
And I just want to double tap Katie's point there about the AG being a possible step to governor. That is a big one here in Pennsylvania. Recent governor Tom Corbett was also attorney general first, and there's a decent history of that.
Yeah, and just the office itself can make a major impact when it comes to political issues. When Shapiro was attorney general, Pennsylvania is one of a bunch of states that pushed for protections and better resources for folks harmed by opioids. And then more recently, attorneys general have taken action or just made statements about abortion protections.
But like Katie said, the race this time is wide open.
Yeah, let's get to the Republican nominees first. It's just two candidates, Dave Sunday, who is currently York County's district attorney, and Craig Williams, who is currently a state rep for parts of Delaware and Chester counties over on the eastern side of the state. We'll include links on our website and in our Hey Pittsburgh newsletter if you're interested in diving deeper into each of these candidates. But one thing to note is that Sunday has an endorsement from the state's Republican Party.
Meanwhile, there are five Democrats running for attorney general, and none of them got enough support to get the state's Democratic nomination. Honestly, I get it. Like, why pick a horse at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're voting in the Democratic primary, you might need to spend a little extra time doing some research since there are so many candidates. It's not just a choice between two people like on the Republican ticket. But Katie explained that there is a quiz on Spotlight PA's website that can help you, whether you're looking at the Republican candidates or the Democratic ones, to try to like figure out who might most align with your values.
I forgot about that. Did you take it? Is it a good quiz?
I myself did not take it, but producer Sophia Lowe did and said it's really short, takes just a couple minutes to finish. It's not the most thorough, but it matches you with the candidates that fit with your answers. And then you can read more about each one, their background, what they think are the most pressing issues for Pennsylvania.
It gives me like Cosmo or BuzzFeed vibes. I'm always into an internet quiz. But the candidates themselves, can you run us through them? I think you're the one who practiced pronouncing their names.
Yes. So the Democrats on the ticket are Keir Bradford Gray, Joe Kahn, Jared Solomon, Jack Stolzheimer, and Eugene DePasquale.
And the last one, he's the only one that's local to Pittsburgh. Eugene DePasquale served 3 terms in the Pennsylvania House and 2 terms as Auditor General. We will get to what Auditor General does in a bit. But right now, he's actually a law professor here in Pittsburgh. And while he was auditor, just speaking from experience, he issued press releases every time he sneezed. From a reporter's perspective, that can be great, too,
yeah,
because we always knew what the office was up to. And the folks were just really accessible. So for any candidate, I always try to think about, you know, what their policies might be around transparency, especially for offices like Attorney General and Auditor General. It's huge.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Megan. If you want to learn more about these candidates, we will have links on our website and in the Hey Pittsburgh newsletter for local election guides that go more in detail on all of these candidates' priorities.
But back to Auditor General, I think we're throwing to Katie again to explain what that AG does.
So this one is basically, it's a watchdog role. The Auditor General monitors what the state is doing with money, how public programs are working. The idea is to catch fraud whenever it's happening, or graft, or any other kind of malfeasance. And so they do very regular reviews of all sorts of, you know, local government spending and also state government spending. And this one, we do have an incumbent, that's Tim DeFore, a Republican. And then on the Democratic side, we've got Malcolm Kenyatta, who is a Democratic state representative from Philadelphia. And the other candidate is Mark Pinsley, the other Democrat. He is the Lehigh County Comptroller.
So since the Republican, Tim DeFore, is running for re-election unopposed, he will, of course, be on the ballot in November. So let's talk about who he might be facing as he, you know, runs up to that.
Yeah, so between Kenyatta and Pinsley, I think Malcolm Kenyatta might be a name that's more familiar for folks since he's been a state rep and he tried to run against Fetterman for a Senate seat in the last election.
Yeah, and he's also running for re-election for the House right now. He told WESA that he feels that this auditor general role is to be a, quote, leader and project manager, and that he wants to be a public advocate like the ones they have in New York City, which in KDKA he described as the one person in government making sure people aren't getting screwed.
Right to the point.
Yep.
Then there's Mark Pinsley. He is county controller of Lehigh, so he would be making a switch from being a county watchdog to being a state watchdog.
Both of them have also talked about how they'll approach school audits, which is a big part of the job. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's an area where DeFore has really been focused, too.
Yeah. And you can find out more at pittsburgh.citycast.fm.
Hey, Pittsburgh, I want to tell you about a real Steel Town hero. Mary Caldwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietress of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation and was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh Opera has a new show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Caldwell Dawson at the Byam Theater through May 5th. Don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English, is just over an hour long, and features a little dialogue for you to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's in our show notes and at pittsburghopera.org. Let's wrap up with a couple local races. First up, there's the 12th Congressional District race between incumbent Summer Lee and two challengers. So we've got Democrat Bhavani Patel and Republican James Hayes. Hayes is running on the Republican ticket unopposed, so we will talk about him another day. Lee and Patel are facing off in the Democratic primary, and it's been pretty contentious. They have gotten a decent amount of national attention.
Yeah, and as a reminder, the 12th District includes Pittsburgh, some Allegheny County suburbs, and then part of Westmoreland County.
I feel like one of the biggest things that's at least made headlines is Israel's war on Gaza. It's just been a big focus of this race. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of why it's been popping off the way it has. Summer Lee is one of several newer progressives up for re-election who's been really critical of the war. She's called for a ceasefire early on and called for the U.S. to end military aid to Israel.
Yeah, and other progressive Democrats who've taken those positions aren't up for primaries until the summer. Lee is the first one facing a challenger. So I think nationally people are watching to see how she does and, you know, what effect, if any, these positions have on her bid for re-election.
So Bhavani Patel, who's running against Lee, she's on the Edgewood Borough Council, used to work as an aide for Rich Fitzgerald. He was our former county executive before Sarah Inamorato. And she ran for this same seat in 2022, but withdrew partway through. So Lee, of course, won. Throughout Patel's campaign, she's emphasized her personal story, growing up with a single mom who immigrated from India to Monroeville to run a food truck business. But she's arguing that Lee is too far to the left, too extreme, and isn't loyal enough to President Biden.
Lee, meanwhile, is in her first term in Congress. She grew up in the Mon Valley, went to law school at Howard University. And when she won in 2022, she became our state's first Black congresswoman. She talks a lot about progressive causes and throughout the campaign has emphasized the work that she's done to bring back federal funding for things like our aging infrastructure.
Something that to me has been really interesting about this race, too, that came out in their most recent debate is that they have similar positions on a whole lot of issues. Like, they both support things like raising the minimum wage, protecting abortion access, and they both talked about the success of the state's whole home repairs program.
Yeah, and that program provides grants to low-income homeowners so they can do basic home repairs and make their houses more energy efficient. It's a state program that Lee pointed out she helped push for in the debate, but both candidates say they would like to see it at the federal level. So they're both kind of pushing for some similar policies.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the flashpoints are really about foreign policy, supposed loyalty to Biden, and then questions about who's funding and supporting each of the candidates. The loyalty question in particular is a little odd to me. We were talking about this off mic. Most of the reporting we've seen shows that Lee has voted with the president. I think I saw 94% of the time reported in City Paper, but I've seen something like that elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and she has broken with Biden on a few occasions, you know, including his policy on the war in Gaza. But generally, you know, the majority of the time she votes with him.
But Patel says that that's not enough, that, you know, Lee should be more loyal and that it could hurt Biden in the presidential election if he doesn't have their full support. During the last debate between Lee and Patel, it was on WPXI a little over a week ago. Patel asked Lee to denounce the uncommitted movement. That's what we talked about earlier in the show. Here's what Lee had to say.
I'm proud that I've been able to do the work to expand the electorate, to bring more people into our democratic processes. The way that we do that is not to discourage people from participating in the primaries. Even President Biden has spoken out on behalf of the people who are uncommitted and those who have voted for him, because he recognizes that the best thing that we can do is encourage people to come and vote in the primaries. And we know that we will all work in the general to make sure that we are fighting back against Donald Trump. And the way to do that is to encourage young people and progressives, people who disagree and agree, to all participate in the process. And it's unfortunate that everybody doesn't agree with that.
All right.
And then, of course, Israel's war on Gaza came up. There was a 4-minute chunk where they touch on topics like military aid for Israel, the humanitarian aid workers that were killed, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. It's a whole exchange. If you want to listen to the whole thing, we'll have a link to it. It's about 11 minutes in.
Yeah. And then I'd say another big point of contention at the debate and in the race is funding. There's been this super PAC called Moderate PAC that's been funding.
That name.
Yeah. It's been funding attack ads that say Lee is opposing President Biden at a time when our democracy is at risk. But we recently learned that the biggest donor to PAC is this guy named Jeff Yass. He is this billionaire hedge fund manager who lives outside Philly. He is the richest man in Pennsylvania. And while he's a libertarian, he's also one of the biggest Republican donors in the nation right now.
Right. And according to a financial disclosure form, Yass gave $800,000 to Moderate PAC. I guess they've raised about $1 million total, at least at the time that disclosure form was filed. So the vast majority of the PAC's funding, at least at this point that we know of, has come from Yass.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, Lee had something to say about this during the debate.
I appreciate my opponent's passion. She is also outwardly calling for people who are Republicans to vote for her. She is now backed by Jeffrey Yass, who is the richest man in Pennsylvania, who has spent all of his money eroding public education. He has eroded abortion rights. And right now he is on the short list to be Treasurer Secretary for Donald Trump. Her entire campaign is backed by Republicans, yet she says that I'm not a good enough Democrat. It feels like she is implying that there's enough room for Joe Manchin, but not a black woman fighting for her own community.
All right.
But, you know, super PACs aren't supposed to coordinate with candidates. You can argue that Patel can't control who gives her money. Here's what she had to say in response.
I denounce extremism on both sides of our party. I denounce Donald Trump. I denounce Jeffrey Yass. Do you denounce the uncommitted movement?
At that point, Lee said that she'd already answered that question. Anyway, there is a lot more going on in this race, a lot more dynamics at play. So we will include links on our website and in Hey Pittsburgh, where you can find more in-depth coverage. And I want to shout out Chris Potter at WSA in particular. He's been closely covering this race, and you should definitely check out his reporting.
One last race that we've been watching is a state house race. This one's between incumbent Abigail Salisbury and her challenger, Ashley Comins. They are both Democrats, and they're running to represent House District 34, which is a sliver of Pittsburgh, and then a bunch of eastern burbs like Braddock, Rankin, Wilkinsburg, Swissvale, Edgewood, and Forest Hills.
Yeah, and this is the seat that Summer Lee actually held before she was elected to Congress. Salisbury used to be an attorney who worked in nonprofit law. She also served on Swiss Vale's Borough Council. And Comins is a member of the Wilkinsburg School Board, and she works for Healthy Start, which is a nonprofit that's trying to improve maternal health and children's health. And then her husband is the mayor of Wilkinsburg.
What's really interesting to me about this race is all the endorsements. So our mayor, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey, endorsed Comins. So did the county executive, Sarah Innamorato, and so did Summer Lee, our congresswoman. It is, I think, a hell of a power move for these three to link up and support a challenger instead of the incumbent, especially when the incumbent doesn't appear to have fallen out of favor in any way, and when both candidates have such similar policy positions.
Yeah, I mean, shout out again to Chris Potter. He covered a meeting where Comins got asked whether she could identify any votes that Salisbury had taken in the House that she objected to, and she said no. She did later tell WESA that she would advocate for an $18 statewide minimum wage and a ban on fracking. But, you know, Megan, leaders here have endorsed challengers over incumbents in the past, including the recent past, and for this very seat. When Summer Lee was running for re-election in 2020, our former county executive, Rich Fitzgerald, backed her opponent. So it's not unheard of.
You are right. But in that case, Lee and her opponent, Chris Rowland, they had pretty big policy differences. So I don't think that's the case here. To me, this is like a tight group of Pittsburgh Democrats anointing someone. And I am curious whether it works, because if it does, that will be a pretty important power block for future elections.
Yeah. And I mean, in this case, Lee and Comins have been longtime allies. Innamorato said that she has great respect for Salisbury, but Comins and her family have, quote, stood with me every single election. This was actually in a letter to House members who said they were surprised they didn't get a heads up from Innamorato about the endorsement. And then other local progressives are backing Comins, too, like County Councilor Bethany Hallam and City Councilor Barb Warwick.
Both candidates, Salisbury and Comins, have talked about the identities that they would bring to the House. Comins is a Black woman. So as Chris Potter put it, if she won the seat, she would, quote, restore a Black woman to the delegation in a region that, until Lee's election in 2018, had never elected one, end quote. She told the Pennsylvania Capital Star that she wants to ensure that Democrats are using their slight majority in the state to focus on communities that often feel left out.
But, you know, Salisbury, she notes she's the first Jewish person, the first openly autistic person, and the first openly LGBTQ plus person to serve the district. She identifies as bisexual. She was actually a leading voice trying to move the state primary so that it wouldn't fall on Passover.
And one thing to note here is that Salisbury won this seat in a special election. That was to replace Summer Lee when she moved up to Congress. The Allegheny County Democratic Committee chose her ahead of Comins and several other candidates. So this is going to be the first race when primary voters actually get to weigh in on who they want.
Like we keep saying, we're going to have links to more reporting about all of the candidates we've talked about, including these candidates in this race, on our website and in our Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. We will also include a link there where you can find your polling place and see what exactly will be on your ballot.
And remember, primary day is Tuesday, April 23rd. So please go make your voice heard. That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. Please check out our website. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm for everything we talked about today and everything we talk about every day. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you soon. Pivot, ribbit.